There we go. This morning, what I would like to do is start off with a confession. I sent the bulletin choices to Susan and Evelyn, as I do every Monday, and I sent the incorrect reading. Well, there's nothing incorrect. Yeah, every reading is good. I just prepared some comments on a different reading. That was probably right. I don't know which one was right, but hey, it is all good. That's all good. So I have a copy of the reading for which I would like to make a few comments with you today, and because I know some of you like to follow along. Some of you may even want to put this on your refrigerator. I don't know. Very good. Very good. And you know, you have to check me. You have to watch me. You have to check me. My math, my spelling, the direction I'm driving, the topic we may be talking about, all these things have to be. Thank you. Oh, do I need the bulletin? Okay. Oh, okay, great. Thank you, Pete. Okay. Nonetheless, here we are. Would you like me to read this out loud? Or would you like Jack to read it out loud? No, okay. <right. laughs> All right. This is from Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, or opened as we know it a little better. You may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, for far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. Well, today what I want to do is talk with you a bit about money. Finances, giving. It's choking me up already, actually. Okay. And, in almost every church, it's Stewardship Sunday, or it was in this season. So I want to talk with you about that today. And I want to start out by just reiterating a few things I mentioned to you a year ago, in that there are a few things I will simply refuse to do when it comes to money. Spending is not one of them. I'll do that. But. but just in talking with you about money, and I just think that a good number of things that happen in a church are actually pressing guilt buttons. And I'm not going to do that. So which guilt buttons am I referring to? Just I mentioned these last year, so I'll mention them again. And the first guilt button is... all we want you to do is give your fair share. Translation. If you don't, shame on you. That's what that is. I cringe when I hear that. And we're never going to use that as a motivation. Another one is your leaders here, your vestry, the other ministry leaders, we have decided what we're going to give, and it totals this much. That, you know, churches do that. Sometimes when there's a capital campaign, that will happen. Translation. You better measure up. That's the translation. I mean, that's what I would feel when I hear that. Just awful stuff. Another one is, if you don't give, we'll close. We just need the money. We're this close to closing. Translation. We are trying to make you feel as absolutely as bad as we possibly can. and so that you will give to get out of here earlier or something, something like that. another translation, we're coming, or another guilt button, we're coming up with a faith budget, doing our best, and that means that we're going to adopt a budget that has some expenses, and we don't have all the income to measure up into that, but we just believe that God is going to supply it. Translation, the good news is we have all the money we need. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. those things, I can't, they have no place among us, those kinds of things. Just, it is a good one, yeah, it's funny, but I mean, to ask you to consider giving on that basis, I hope I'm not being vague about what I'm trying to get across to you. See, one of the reasons that I don't like that and refuse to do it is because I think that that builds a church on your back. I don't have anything to do with anything like that. We kind of, by mistake, do that often enough. But to intentionally build it on your back, that's wrong. Just not going to do that. And besides, we don't build the church anyway. Jesus says, I will build my church. And what we do is we enter into a relationship with him, which is by faith. And he says, upon this rock, which is our faith in him, I will build my church. So it really, the whole idea of giving fits into the pattern of life of following Jesus, where your lifestyle is a rhythm of following him all the time. And so the basic pattern of how you would decide what you wish to give is this. What is Jesus telling you, and what would he have you do about it? That is giving on faith, and that's building on faith. And what that does is that it puts our trust upon him to build his church. That just seems to me a far better idea than any others. That's just at the top of the line. In fact, there is no line after that. That's the deal. We follow him. And we follow him in everything we do, including our financial giving. Now, at that, I could end the sermon and say, just go ahead and ask Jesus what you want to give, and what he wants you to give, and go ahead and do that. However, I did pass out this reading, so I want to make a couple of other points from it, which will help, I think, have us see why we want to follow Jesus and see him as the builder of the church. And we just join in with him by faith in doing that. You notice at the top of the page it says, Paul writes to the Ephesians and says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. That really is an excellent description of St. Francis, of us. There is our faith in Jesus and our love towards all the saints. And there's a depth of that particular experience among us. And there's also a lot of people around who feel that way about St. Francis. They look at us and say, there's the depth of faith and love towards all the saints. And people who have been involved here and moved or for whatever reason are not with us any longer. But they still feel that way. And you run into them and they still, yeah, St. Francis, love that place. Wonderful church. And Paul says, for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. It is the faith in Jesus and the love towards all the saints which starts prompting and motivating people to pray for us and for us to pray for each other. That is a motive. And the prayer is what Jesus is praying for us. We begin joining into that. See, there's that faith again. Your prayer life is built by Jesus. It's not you coming up with what you hope will be okay. It's all okay. When you're prompted by Jesus to pray, and you just give it your best shot, you are echoing what he is praying now at the right hand of the Father. And some of the things that he prays is are these things, that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation as we come to know him. And that's, I mean, that's really the result of following him, is you come to know him. And what happens is you get a spirit of wisdom as you come to know him. And you have revelation from God as you come to know him. That's how you get those two things, by coming to know Jesus. They're byproducts, you might say. And the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. You know, the eyes of everything inside of you are enlightened by the Spirit of God. And you know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance that we have, the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power, and that God raised him from the dead. See, I mean, that's very important. I mean, we know that, we say that every week, but Jesus did die. He was completely dead. Absolutely. No pulse, no brain activity, nothing. Dead. And then God raised him. That's the power that's working in that. And that power, by that power, seated him at the right hand, where he's praying, as we mentioned, in the heavenly places. And he's far above every rule, authority, dominion, power. Every name that is named in heaven or on earth is lower than his name. All of that is true. And with all of that, he is the head over all things for the church. Very, very important. And of course, that the church is his body, and he is the head over all of it. And you know, that's very important. I mean, obviously, or else we wouldn't be pointing it out. He is head over the church in several ways. And, well, in every way, actually. He's the head of the church. But it's us responding to him where we come to what we're supposed to do. And it's him giving us the form of that church, of our church, that is the way we're supposed to be. And that is what we give into. See, what would Jesus want you to give? Because he's the head of the church. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not pointing this out so that you will think I'm an okay guy, and that I promise not to press your guilt buttons so that you'll think I'm friendly or whatever. And also, just to put it aside, just to put it to one side, I'm not telling you this because I'm asking for a raise from you. I mean, it's really difficult to get away from that, isn't it? When the preacher gets up and says it's time for you to give money, well, the preacher wants a raise. And administratively, it's important for us to understand, St. Francis does not pay me. What you put on the plate does not come to me. I am paid by the Diocese of Virginia. Now, the wonderful vestry of St. Francis makes the request, you know, for that to happen, but none of the money that comes through here on a Sunday morning comes to me. It all comes from the diocesan budget. So I'm not asking you for a raise. I'm asking you to follow Jesus. That's what I'm asking. As I do every week. It's following him in that regard. So how would you go ahead and do that? How would you move in that direction? How would you begin doing things so that you come to know him better, and that the eyes of your heart are opened, and you have wisdom, and you have revelation, and you have all the things that are promised here? You know the great power that he has for you. It all comes down to that lifestyle of listening for him and then doing what he would ask you to do about that. What is he telling you? Day after day, week after week, year after year, living in that pattern and that rhythm is what transforms you into being like Jesus. It's what builds the church. It's how he chooses to build the church, by us listening and then following after what he says. That's just completely how that goes. So what it really comes down to is a challenge. And the challenge is always there. It never goes away. And it doesn't matter really how long you've been a Christian, what kind of spiritual victories you've had, all the different kinds of things you may have done. You get to this level and the challenge then is the next level. And you get to that step and the challenge is the next one. And the challenge will always come by Jesus telling you something and then giving you the prompting or the direction for how to do it. And once Jesus tells you something, taps you on the shoulder, whatever, whispers in your mind, speaks to you in the night, however he does it for you, the challenge is it can take you one of two ways. And one is to follow after him. The other is to choose to do what you would want to do with what he told you. Now, I heartily suggest you don't choose that way, that you choose what he asked you to do. But that's still challenging, because every time what will happen is you will have in your mind what you want to do. I do every time. I feel Jesus is prompting me in some way. I say, great, I got that. Jeez, let me get those seminary notes out or whatever. And I know what to do. And I don't. I need to ask him, what's the step? And that's what it would be with you and all of us together. What's the step Jesus would have you take? What would he have you give? One prayer that you might ask today is, well, Jesus, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give in 2015? What do you want me to give today? What do you want me to give from now through the end of this year? What do you want that to be? And you may get a number. And then you would ask him, okay, how do you want me to do that? Lottery ticket, you know, whatever. But that's what it is. That's following Jesus all the time in every aspect. He is Lord of all of it. And as I mentioned a couple of times in the past, everything, without any exceptions, all of it, all the time, without a break, is always all about Jesus, everywhere. Always. There's no other way to describe that. It's just, I know when you're having an argument, you're never supposed to say, you always do that. Well, in this case, the always is true. And sometimes we do come into an argument with Jesus. Well, I'd like to do it this way, all right? Jesus, well, okay, but I want you to do it that way. And so you die to yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. Every time. That is the Christian life. That's what it is to follow him. So if you would consider the step you want to take, if you right now are thinking, okay, I want to do what Jesus wants me to do, that comes from him. That desire to do that came directly from him. That's you encountering the Holy Spirit. That is the presence and mercy of God starting to bubble up within you. And that desire is something that you can begin to act on. And if you want to take that step, then you say, okay, Jesus, how do we go? What do you want me to do? What is it that you want me to give? And just take his answer and run with that. And if you would do that, that would be just absolutely great. And then, if you would, and if you're able to, is to make a pledge. for 2015. And what that does is that helps the vestry to plan. That's a way for you to be encouraging this fellowship a little more deeply, because the vestry can take that figure and plan a little better. And if you come along and it's mid-2015 and you're not able to do that, or you need to change it, that's absolutely fine. We do not send the God squad to your house because you changed your pledge. Sorry, we don't find that to be a contract. If you in good faith now feel this is what Jesus wants me to do and circumstances change, he's still building the church. He's still Lord of all. He's still pouring his spirit upon you. You still have a place here. You're still welcome at this table. Just everything about your relationship with Jesus is still intact if something happens or you need to make a change. So if you can do that, that'd be great. All right. Now, I've done a little more kind of sharing with you than the usual sort of teaching, but and this is a once a year thing. I want to know this. Do you want to ask any questions right now about giving? You don't have to if you don't want, but I want to give you that opportunity this morning because we don't bring it up all that often. Okay, very good. Very good. I want to encourage you to be thinking about that. If later you have a question, or later something comes to you, or you've been following after Jesus, you've taken that step and answered that challenge, and you just start seeing things because you are receiving a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you begin seeing and understand things you have never seen or thought about before, and you want to talk about that? That is one of my favorite subjects. I mean, you can call me about anything you want at all or be in touch, but that, don't hold back. Don't isolate from that. Come into the fellowship, come to the bride. The one who is head over all is leading you, and we can go together to the places that he's prepared. All right, let's stand. By the way, do we have pledge cards here this morning? Okay. Do you think we should hand them out now or later? Okay. All right, before you go, just think of, I'll remind you at the end too, but let's do that. All right, well, Lord Jesus, we do acknowledge you as King of all kings, Lord of all lords, head over everything. We ask that you would free us up in the ways of our thinking about money, so that we can follow you. We can come into that place that you've prepared for us and see you more and have that spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may become more like you. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.